Back to the Word, number 3B.
When we start talking about things that can happen in the last days, it can be any kind of oil, because it's a prophecy. Are you ready for this? Israel is going to become the richest nation in the world. Verse 12, of Benjamin, he said. Now look at the map and see where Benjamin is. You got Benjamin located? Right down here on the map, up on the screen. And that's the town of Jerusalem, that little black dot where Benjamin goes right through. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. The Lord shall cover him all the day long. He shall dwell between his shoulders. Isn't that odd? It says, Benjamin will dwell between his shoulders. Look at my body. What is between my shoulders? Anatomically, there's only one thing that's sitting right between my shoulders. My neck. My neck. Odd statement. Keep that. Just file that. Just file that. Benjamin is between the shoulders. Verse 13. And of Joseph, he said, aha, aha. Now, when you say Joseph, that adds Ephraim to Manasseh. All right? He said, blessed be the of the Lord is his land. Ha ha. God says he's going to bless the land of Joseph. There's a blessing in the land of Joseph. I wonder where. It says, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that stretches out beneath. Aha. There's a blessing in Joseph beneath that land. He says, the land of Joseph will be blessed. Where in the land, Lord? Where in the land? Beneath it. Did you see that? Well, Lord, the land of Joseph's pretty big there. Can you be a little more specific? Well, yes, as a matter of fact. Look with me, if you would, at verse 16. For the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the good will of him who dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, on his head. Let's just leave that for a moment. That's kind of wild. Look with me real quickly at verse 24. Here in Deuteronomy 33. Of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. You say, well, Brother Floyd, that can't mean crude oil. That's got to mean olive oil. No, no, we're talking about the latter days. This is a prophecy. Would you please look at the map and observe that here is Asher. And would you see that it looks just like a leg? There's the calf of the leg. And here's the foot down here. You can check almost any Bible when you get home. Check the maps out. Isn't that odd? It looks just like a leg. And where did he say that Asher will get oil, find oil? He will dip his foot in oil. We've already started drilling, a friend of mine over in Houston, and we're drilling right there in the foot. The first thing that happened to us when we spudded in, it's not my will, I'm just saying us because I encouraged him in this thing, and he already knew about it, and he came and checked with me 6 years ago. We've been planning this for 6 years now. You believe these are the last days? If they're the last days, Israel had better find some oil. Or these aren't the last days. And we're drilling in the foot of Asher. When we first started drilling, got out there and cleared the site away, the first thing we ran into was an old archaeological city, an old ancient city. So they made us quit drilling until all the archaeologists got out there and had all their fun, stopped things for 30 days. We just started drilling again. So I'm telling you now, it'll be kind of exciting to see what happens in the next, 30 to 90 days, won't it? I'll give you a report. You may even read it in the paper before I get to give it to you. All right, now let's see. It says, Asher will dip his foot in oil. And that's odd. Now, let's take a quick look back to chapter 32, verse 13. Now, if you read in verse 9, it's talking about Jacob, the sons of Jacob and his sons. And it says, talking about his blessings, and the last part of verse 13 says, that Jacob will suck oil out of a flinty rock. Now, don't tell me that's olive oil. When was the last time you saw olive oil flowing out of a flinty rock? Now, a good flinty rock might be a limestone or a sand. There's one of those outcropping in Israel in the mountains. This says they're going to suck oil. Have you ever seen, just picture an oil well down in the earth. It looks just like a straw. Sucking oil out of the flinty rock, all right? So, hey, there's oil. It says oil in the foot and oil out of a flinty rock. Very interesting. And it's a foot. It's a leg. And he said Benjamin would dwell between the shoulders. That's a neck. That's bothering me. Come back to verse chapter 33, verse 16 again. It says in the bottom part, the blessing on Joseph that's going to be underneath him from verse 13, beneath his land, the land of Joseph is going to be blessed, and the blessing is going to be under the land, and it's going to be on the head, on the top of the head. Look, it says even on the top of the head. Heads are big. If you look at Joseph, which is Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, I've dashed this part here because different maps put that different. Some bring it down here, but it really doesn't matter. This outline right here that I'm outlining is Joseph. Please observe that this is a crown on his head. There's his nose. Here's his mouth. That's his chin. Up here would be his neckline where the ear would come right in there. And this would be his hair coming out down here. And right underneath that chin is Benjamin. The neck between the shoulders. Everything in here is an anatomical body described, isn't it, Dr. Joe? Do you see it? Can all of you see that nose? His eye would be located right about here.
Yeah.
Just draw an eye right there in your imagination. There's a nose, the lips, the chin, the neckline. Here's where his ear would be here. Here's where his hair would be. This is, look, here's his crown. And there's Benjamin, his neck. Now, where we're going to drill, look, so the very top of Joseph's head, in fact, on the crown, do you see that line right there? That line extended, dashed on up here through the foot of Asher, interjects right at the base of Mount Carmel where Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. That line that I've just drawn right there is the Valley of Armageddon. That valley is about 35 miles long, 10 to 15 miles wide, and it is loaded with oil. How do I know that? Verse 18, and of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out. And Issachar, ooh, ooh, look at Issachar and Zebulun, sitting right on the crown, right on the crown. They shall call the people into the mountain, there they shall offer sacrifices of the righteous, of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and treasures hidden in the sand. We're going to find a big, thick marine sand. Maybe many of them. Goodness knows how thick they're going to be. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to make the Saudis look like sick oil fields. Beloved, quickly back to Genesis 49, verse 25. Verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a what? By a well. You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Floyd. That's got to be a water well. Oh, it was when Joseph was there. But we're talking about the future now. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't understand. I'm not beating that one on the head too bad. It's just kind of funny that he did say it was by a well, you know. But then look with me down in verse 25. He says it again in the last half of it, that the blessings will be in the land of Joseph. We're reading about Joseph here. And he says the blessings of the deep that lies under it. You see that? Verse 25, the last part. Then he says in verse 26 that the blessings... And in the last half, they shall be on the head of Joseph, on the crown of the head of Joseph. Look up there at the blackboard. There's the crown. It says, on the crown. The other one said, on the top of his head, which would be located at the same place. And so, beloved, when you draw all that out, then the Valley of Armageddon has got to be full, and so does the foot of Asher. He's dipping his foot in oil, and they're going to hit. Now, I can't say that the first well is going to hit. All right? But there's no doubt in my mind they're going to hit. Now, let me show you one last thing, and this is it. Ezekiel 38. To your right. Now, some of you will get home and you'll see other maps with the line separating Ephraim and Manasseh drawn differently. This line here, drawn different. But see, it doesn't really matter. You can erase the line. You've still got... He's talking about Joseph. And there is an outline of a man's face and a crown sitting up top. See, it really doesn't matter where you draw that line. I drew the line from the old original Schofield map because it looked better. All right? And I've checked it out and I'm satisfied with it. I mean, I know what other maps show, but I looked at it and read it for myself there in the allotment of the lands. Look with me here at verse 12. Now, without teaching you this chapter, listen. This chapter begins talking about a great power that's due north, absolutely extreme due north in verse 6 of Israel. If you look on the same meridian that goes through Jerusalem, it passes right through Moscow. The same meridian. The only great power due north of Israel is Russia. And this verse 12 says that this great power will come against Israel with the United Arabs and much of Black Africa against Israel when they're at peace. Israel isn't at peace yet. Their borders are guarded. They're on their guard. But something's going to happen. The Antichrist is going to make a 7-year peace treaty with them, letting them rebuild their temple. And that's going to make them think they can dwell in peace. Then it says, this big power from the north will come to take a spoil of the Jews. Now I got a question for you guys. What in the world is Russia going to invade Israel for? Oranges? Cabbage? Some writers in the old-timey Bible writers said, well, maybe it's all the minerals in the Dead Sea. I seriously doubt it. No. What is it that's going to draw everybody to that last great battle at the Valley of Armageddon? Just let those old Arabs keep burning up their own oil, and pretty soon Russia and all the rest of them, and the Arabs included, are going to have trouble needing oil. And God said in His Word that in the last days, the blessings in Joseph would be found. And we're drilling. Beloved, let me just add in closing on this oil that I believe will be found in the near future here in Israel. That first of all, Armageddon, the Valley of Armageddon, the Valley of Jezreel, the Valley of Megiddo, it's a fault trap. Mount Carmel on the south side is an upthrown block right where Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. So it's a perfect fault trap, a perfect trap in the valley to trap oil against some impervious rock. And let me just add this real quick. The fact that there is going to be oil here really helps to understand some scripture, some prophecy that's always been hard to understand. For example, in Isaiah chapter 34, verse 9, it talks about at the time that the Lord returns, the time of the indignation, which is a scripture that always, which is a term that's used so often, having to do with the Lord returning the second time, that is the indignation. It mentions here the land burning with pitch. You know, I always wonder, well, how can land burn? And it talked about land burning up above those verses too. And in that verse, well, pitch, of course, is a form of asphalt, a form of oil, and talks about the land burning. Well, I never could understand how land could burn, but boy, if oil and gas and things like that are seeping up through it because of interrupted pipelines and stuff, you can see immediately how simple that would make that. So in other words, this whole thing helps you to understand some prophetic things that the Lord has taught us in other scriptures. And we're drilling.
That's going to be really exciting. We'll just see what happens on this one, right?
Now, I'd rather they drill in the Valley of Armageddon right now. I've got to tell you one parting shot. There's already a refinery sitting right there. Probably sitting right on top of just bukus of oil, and he doesn't even know it. Would you stand? Now, I apologize to all of you before the meeting started and told you it was going to be weird. And I certainly didn't disappoint you about that. Now, if you're in here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, this really wasn't for you. Or maybe it was. You find me another holy book written 1000 B.C. where you can calculate the value of pi to 5 decimal places. But mainly tonight was family encouragement time. Hey, I don't care what the Bible says and how apparent the contradiction is. It says that boy was 8 years old when he went to the throne. Another one says 18. Both of them are true. And if you're not smart enough to figure it out, that doesn't mean God's wrong. And if I'm not smart enough to figure it out, that still doesn't mean God's wrong. And if some guy with 74 PhDs can't figure it out, that doesn't mean he's right and God's wrong. And if you didn't get anything else other than that, it was worth it just once. Now, about once a year, we have one of these weird sessions for you visitors. You know, if you're wondering what happened. Last time I did it was on UFOs, the Shroud of Turin, and Firewalkers. Remember that little session? Hallelujah. I'm going to dismiss this with a word of prayer. Father, increase our faith to believe what we can't understand in your word. In the name of Jesus, amen.
End of Back to the Word, number 3B.